Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sing along now. You know the words. I feel like we got to shoot a video to this. Todd Manley, the fearless leader of this place, has this affinity for this wacky music, and he found this. I love this. Oh, shut up now so you can hear it. Yes, I'm going. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, where the Allstate Kid of the Week is coming up in a few minutes. Stand by for that. Plus, you believe it's Wee Day again? This is like 10 minutes ago.
Love Wee Day.
It's a great, great concept. Kids being encouraged to change the world. And our friends at Allstate behind it and produce it and make it huge. That's it. Mark Carman's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I love Wee Day, too.
Have you been?
No.
Because he did this huge concert out at Rosemont.
Really?
Yeah, you should go. Pretty inspiring.
Okay.
Especially an old guy like you. You know, you'd see these kids doing
that stuff. Hurts. Not going to lie. That was like a complete shot to the gut as I stare at my gray hair.
What are you talking about? I go into the thing and they go, oh, look, Grandpa's here.
No. You guys both look good.
We'll get to the top six at six here in just a second. Just a quick tip that came up yesterday. A life hack, if you will. So yesterday I'm hanging out with the great Abigail Grace.
Again,
world's greatest granddaughter. And she takes a nap, so I'm not going to miss that opportunity. I go to take a nap on Ross's couch, and I wake up, I can't find my phone.
Oh, that's the worst.
Can't find my phone.
Go Abigail.
So, I figured, I mean, she does play with it all the time, so I thought maybe she's, hidden it in a secret place or something, and it's not that big a place. Can't find it. So I didn't know this. You guys probably did. But, if you're Android in particular, as opposed to you iPhone commies, if you Google up your account and you say, find my Android phone.
Find my phone, yeah.
Yeah, on Google, even if the ringer's off, it'll ring your phone for 5 minutes.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
5 minutes.
That's huge.
Wow. Yeah, it was huge because the phone had actually slipped out of my pocket between the cushions and the couch and went inside the couch.
In the springs?
Like, nice. Well, not actually in the springs, but like in a pocket like between where the cushions meet.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But I didn't know Google did that. Google does everything.
You would never have found that phone.
No, absolutely not.
I'm surprised Google didn't go, hey, Cochran, I'm in the couch. it's your voice.
I think that's the update.
Hey, it's Alexa, let me out.
Yes, well, you can ask Alexa to ask Google to set it up, I'm sure.
That's cool. See, because the iPhone just says find my phone, which doesn't really help if you don't have your phone.
Well, find my iPhone, I think, works, but then you have to have your iPhone activated. So I think if your location isn't on, which is a battery sucker, then you wouldn't be able to find it.
Yeah, you have to either find an iPad or a desktop or somewhere else on which to obviously find your phone.
I said, Google, do my taxes. I'm waiting to get back on that. You ready for the top six at six? Are you going to tell me something about your phone?
Oh, I was just going to tell you that I made the move yesterday, Steve, to the iPhone. I left the Android world. It happened yesterday.
Welcome.
And why? Why'd you make the move?
Fear, I think.
Fear.
Fear.
I don't even know what that means.
I mean, I went in and I looked at the sales representative. And I said, "What should I do with my life and get the iPhone?" I'm like, "Okay." I mean, that's how it went down.
Well, see, I'm ambidextrous because I have an iPad and I have an Android phone.
Now they don't
ambidextrous. I just invented that.
They don't work together.
Textrous, yeah. Do they work together? Sure.
They do work. They can sync together?
You can sync them up. Yeah. Here's your top six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
Top six at six on 720 WGN.
Well, look who got all presidential yesterday. Donald Trump had arguably maybe the best day he's had since he became the president a month ago. And largely because he named H.R. McMaster the new national security advisor. McMaster actually is active duty military. When the commander-in-chief asks you to do something, you have to accept the order. Not that this was an order, and I'm sure there was a discussion about it, but Democrats, Republicans, and everybody in between all say this is a phenomenal pick, and he will be a great NSA.
It's the greatest name ever. McMaster? Are you kidding me?
H.R. McMaster.
I mean, don't mess with that dude.
How cool. This guy has a PhD in military history.
Yeah, he wrote a really important book about Vietnam and how botched Vietnam was. I think it's called Dereliction of Duty. He's a rock star. So hopefully President Trump will be smart enough to listen to him. The Russian UN ambassador died suddenly in New York yesterday. And before we all jump to the same thing I jumped to, which is, okay, Putin killed another one. Putin seems quite upset about this. And this does seem to be what it appears to be on the surface, which is a heart attack. He was only 65 years old and well thought of and never strayed from the Putin line. But he dies coincidentally in the midst of all this stuff going on between us and them. I know you're saying, Steve, wait, you might find out Putin maybe did kill him. Give Putin a chance to get credit. No, this appears to be what it is. So we shall see. This is so bizarre. Father and a son in a car accident. Son's coming home at 2:00 in the morning. Father is, I believe, going to work. We got to talk about the story later when there's more time to do it. They had a head-on collision, and they both died.
What? Bizarre.
It's so awful.
It's unbelievable.
Awful.
And the father just is driving along. The son, apparently, from a night of good times, shouldn't have been behind the wheel. Head-on collision, they're both dead.
Awful. It's absolutely awful.
Next. You ready for a return of the Beatles? Well, we've only got two left. Paul McCartney is playing on Ringo Starr's new album. It's official. McCartney and Ringo Starr put some pictures out on social media yesterday with Ringo thanking Paul. Thanks for coming by. Coming by and playing on his album. We don't know how good it is, but it's cool. It's a cool idea. I'm not, I was a little kid when the Beatles were huge. I was 4 or 5 years old. So I never was locked into the Beatles the same way Spike and guys that were half a generation ahead of me were. But, it's the Beatles, right?
I think it's so
and McCartney,
cool.
Have you ever met McCartney?
I've never met him. Oh. I've seen him in concert a couple times. He's awesome.
He's an unbelievable guy. I mean, listen, it's not like we're hanging out at Denny's, but the few times that I've interviewed him and talked to him, he could not be nicer.
Right.
And could not be more normal.
Down to earth.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah.
You met him in person?
Yeah, in person and on the phone.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in these interviews, one or the other. We did a fax interview at one point. Happy 51st birthday, Cindy Crawford. Now, we were talking about how great Christie Brinkley looks. Mm-hmm. Is she 65?
Yeah, I think she is, right? She's in her 60s.
She's in Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Yeah. She looks phenomenal. Her little sister, Cindy Crawford, 51st birthday yesterday, and looks amazing as well.
63, Christie Brinkley.
So the text I get from Sandberg? I can't, look at these women. I can't wait to get older.
Right?
And then there's this. Every time you get caught in traffic, you go, ugh, this is the worst city in the world for traffic. We didn't even make the top 15. The top 15 worst traffic snarls for rush hour in the world. The only American city on the list is Los Angeles. And Jake, I know you lived in L.A. I've been in and out of L.A. for the last 30 years, lived there briefly as well. I've never seen traffic in L.A. that's worse than anything I've experienced here.
It's bad.
And certainly you throw a little snow on it, and it's bad. Mm-hmm. I would say getting across Manhattan is much worse than any of it. But New York didn't make the list either. L.A. is the only one on the list. Adjust yourself accordingly if you're thinking about taking the family to Bangkok, Thailand. The worst rush hour traffic in the world. We'll hit that list later as time allows as well.
Just curious, though, have they sat on the Kennedy? Have they been on the Eisenhower?
Yeah, you know what
exactly.
It's like. I mean, Mary, remember the night of your dad's services after he passed?
Oh.
There was a snowstorm.
Oh, my God.
And we were in Evanston for a meeting, and it took us 3 hours to get to, where was the funeral home?
Villa Park.
Yeah. 3 hours to get to Evanston from Evanston to Villa Park.
Right.
And gosh, I thank you guys all the time.
Oh,
for that.
Stop. That's not the point of the story.
I know, but my gosh, what a trek.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
623 and Allstate Kid of the Week coming up. I'm going to meet an Allstate agent in a second. You know, whenever we do anything with Allstate on the show, we like to introduce you to an agent doing great things in the community, talk about the business a little bit. Before we get to that, anything in sports I need to know about other than the sports cast you did at 6 o'clock?
Not really, Steve. I think the interesting thing is a huge game for the Hawks tonight at Minnesota, and I kind of find Derrick Rose being traded in Minnesota interesting. Tom Thibodeau, D. Rose reunion, and Northwestern a huge game tonight at Illinois.
And Derrick Rose done, basically.
He's having a pretty good year, averaging around 18, about 5 assists.
Yeah, me too. Have we decided what we're going to do in the CLTV hour with Northwestern, speaking of that?
Yeah, we have there's a football helmet, and we have a couple of our...
Of our giant heads?
Do you have your giant head with you?
My giant head's in my office.
Okay, we'll have someone go get your giant
Carms,
head.
Carms, grab that, would you? Grab that
giant head. Okay.
Yeah, just one of those.
Hey, guys.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We aren't supposed to talk about what the item is.
Oh, we're not. Don't show it. Don't show it. I thought we just had to reveal
We're going to say, hey, keep watching us on the stream and then at CLTV in the 9 a.m. hour. And when you hear a cat, do cats growl? What is that noise?
Yeah, it's a growl.
Oh, that rah, 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 rah noise. So, then you call in and you'll be the seventh caller and you're going to get a prize if you know what the purple item in the studio is.
So you got to be watching TV.
Or the stream.
Or listen on the stream.
Yeah.
This is exactly what you told me not to do yesterday
in
the meeting.
It
wasn't
is,
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Mary, I kind of been guilty too.
I know, I was counting on you, Andrea.
So I'm sorry. I slipped.
625, Lisa Jacino is here from Allstate, and nice to have you here as well. Good morning, and I'm sorry this started so early.
Oh, that's okay. Good morning.
What time do you normally get up in the morning?
6 o'clock.
Oh, well, it's not so bad, right? You have family, kids?
Yes, I do.
How old are your kids?
I have a 22-year-old.
Come
and
on.
14-year-old.
You do not. Carms, get some ID off her.
Yeah, can't be.
Well, you look fabulous.
Well, thank you.
How long have you been with Allstate?
I have been with Allstate for 28 years.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I don't know. We're going to have to do some checking here. Where's your agency?
I have two offices. I have one in Pilsen at 16th and Halsted, and I have another one in Humboldt Park off of North Avenue in Maplewood.
Biggest challenge is what?
Biggest challenge in the business?
Yeah.
Is helping people understand what they truly need to protect themselves.
Do folks fight that? Do they go, I don't know, Lisa.
Yeah, you're trying to overinsure me, but it's not the case. I mean, we really like to get to know our customers individually, get to know their families, what their interests are, and make sure that they're properly protected.
And what got you into the business?
Actually, I was doing an internship when I was at Columbia at a non-for-profit. I studied marketing communications, and I was working in the public relations department, helping with grants, doing the write-ups for grants. And Allstate was always present. And being a Chicago girl, I wanted
to work. Very charitable company.
Very charitable.
Right.
And I wanted to work for a company that gave back to our community.
Right. I love Pilsen.
Yeah, so do I.
It's just one
great
of,
area.
Yeah, yeah. And say hi to Lisa.
Lisa, hey, love Pilsen. They just closed one of my favorite restaurants, though, Perez. They reopened it in the West Loop area. But love the community.
Love
do
it.
You find, too, that the community, I mean, that's a very warm, close-knit area, 18th Street, that whole
very
community.
Very much so.
Do you find, too, a lot of walk-ins, a lot of people happy that, you know, literally your door is propped open and you're there?
Most definitely. And I think the difference is, I mean, we truly embody helping, you know, the community, and it's wonderful to have families walk in and, hey, this is my cousin. I told him about you, and we get to know and grow with the family. So it's been great.
For people who thought maybe or possibly thinking, well, maybe this is something I want to do. Maybe it's time for me to run my own business. Maybe I should be an agent. What's the process? Is it difficult?
Well, it's
it takes
a process,
commitment.
Right? It takes commitment, and that's one of the things I love about being a small business owner is that I can introduce people in the community to this career. Many of the people that work for me out of the Pilsen office are from Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing now with the North Avenue office, and teaching them this beautiful career and the fact that you can truly impact lives while doing it.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing. Now, I don't think Mark has enough collision and comprehensive. Mark, let's talk about where you are.
It's true. I don't, and I was just realizing the security I would feel if I actually kind of insured myself in lots of ways. So maybe we can meet up after the show.
We're going to have to meet up, Mark.
Okay. Yeah.
What could I got to make sure you're in good hands. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
We can insure. He's got a nice head of hair. We can insure that, I suppose.
Yeah, possibly.
Not that I'm not bitter, because I am.
You look good, Steve.
So for either office for you, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
I'm calling our main number, which is 312-850-0775.
Okay, and they can tell you whatever else you need, and go to allstate.com and find out about how to be an agent. Plenty of links right there, right?
Yes, there is.
Or they can call you?
Or they can call me or go to our website. We'd be more than happy to help them.
And thank you for your support of Kid of the Week, the Allstate Kid of the Week. It's a great program that we love. We're going to meet these three fine young men here in a few minutes.
Awesome. So
appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
6:29, let's take a break, come back with a big story, and you're going to meet three phenomenal Kids of the Week, co-Kids of the Week this morning. I'm watching you three. Let me tell you that right now. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
The Allstate Kid of the Week. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential. Make the world a better place through service. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help us recognize kids that go above and beyond for their community. Nominate a youth for the Allstate Kid of the Week, a kid you think we should know, somebody like the three guys you're about to meet. And we have prizes for them, Amazon gift cards, Lou Malnati's pizza, stuff like that. But the most important thing is just recognizing the fact that they're getting it done and they're changing the world. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for kids between 9 and 18 that you think we ought to know about for Kid of the Week. And if you see somebody, you read about somebody, it's not even somebody you know, that's fine. Send us that as well, right? Tune in every Tuesday for Allstate Kid of the Week. All right, earlier we were talking to Allstate agent Lisa Giacino, and let me bring her back in here. My microphone's all set. How do you know these three young men?
I met these three young men through a friend of mine who produced a documentary called For the Love of Mine, For the Love of Mom. His name is Mike Oquendo. And he went and visited these boys once he learned about their program and how they were inspired by this documentary. So I reached out to him and told him that I wanted to get involved and wanted to support the cause that they came up with. Being born and raised in this city, and I strongly believe that our kids are our future.
Well, of course, you bet.
And these boys are making such a great impact, especially in what's going on in our city right now.
Well,
and violence against kids.
Exactly. And you think about middle school.
Exactly.
Middle school, there's never more peer pressure. There's never more mean behavior, because it's that crossover, right?
Yeah.
You're not a little kid anymore, but you're not quite the big, tough high schooler. And middle schoolers can really be jerks, self-centered little jerks, but not our friends.
No.
Not our friends here. And no. The idea that three eighth graders step up like this is pretty cool. So yeah. What's the program called?
Their program is called Baskets, Not Bullets.
And let's meet the rock stars right now. I'm going to turn on every microphone in the building to make sure we get you guys on. Introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Cole Tanzi, and I'm an eighth grader at
Oscar Mayer. All right, Cole is an eighth grader. And?
Hi, my name is Jalen Harris, and I'm an 8th grader at Oscar Mayer.
And?
Hi, my name is Drew Donahue, and I'm an 8th grader at Oscar Mayer.
What was Drew's voice, man?
I know. He's got a career in radio.
Unbelievable.
All you guys.
All right, Baskets, Not Bullets. Let's go in reverse order. Talk to me about Baskets, Not Bullets. What does it mean?
Well, we started it last year when we were in 7th grade, and it just kind of started off as a school project, and it just took off from there.
Any ideas? Basketball.
Yes.
Not gangs and guns.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, Jalen, you talk to me about it. Lean into that mic for me, bud.
What Drew said, it started off as a school project, but I had a direct connection because I had a family close friend who got killed by gun violence, Tyjon Lee.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Tyjon was who to you?
He was just a family close friend that I played basketball with.
In the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how scary is that?
Very scary.
So you wanted to do something. You want to help.
Yeah.
And Cole, what's your situation in regards to this? You know, these are your buddies, right?
Yeah. So at first, we were assigned to do just a school project. And at first, I mean, we didn't expect much out of it. But then we started reaching out to all these different people. And we got help from Miss Olise, who was our mentor. And She helped us establish all these connections with people like Lisa Giacchino, Miss Burgos, who
grown-ups that get it.
Yeah, right.
You need and, grown-ups that get it.
Yeah, and different, just groups that could help us participate in different events where we could help the community out.
So Cole, how does this work now? You just try to encourage basketball games wherever you can, where kids might be on the street if they weren't playing hoops.
So we support this program called Windy City Hoops, which mm-hmm. is a program that gets kids off the court and onto the streets and. That's basically our motto, getting kids off the
court. Off the streets and onto the courts.
Off the
streets
onto the court.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You're doing great, man. And Jalen, where do you find the kids? You just go around and talk to everybody?
No, so we actually went to different schools to...
To get the word out.
Yeah.
Right. And did you get a bunch of people signing up right away?
Yeah, kind of after.
Yeah, because the word's got to get out. What about you, Drew? Is it a social media thing, too? I mean, you're pumping this on Facebook and stuff?
We have an Instagram page.
Okay. Facebook. Facebook is so 2012. Yeah. when do the events take place? I mean, do you have them all the time?
Well, we went to Diego School. Mm-hmm. We did it at our school, and we did something at Lane Tech.
So you're getting around the whole city.
Yeah, so we just try to participate in as many events as possible.
Lisa, do we know how many kids are involved in this already?
In their program?
Yeah.
No, how many are
we quantified the number, you guys? Do we know how many kids are involved? I guess the number doesn't matter. The important thing is to get them out and get them playing, right?
Yeah, and I think the cool thing, too, is that they've gone to park districts and have shared their story and have worked with families and spoken against gun violence.
You should be very proud, and you guys, too, because when they came in, Steve, and you know, too, they came in, shook your hand, said hello, gave us a little bracelet that says baskets, not bullets. I just want to know how you guys feel because you're now becoming the mentors. You know, people are going to start looking up to you guys, too.
You put the men in mentor.
Yeah, it's got to make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, you should feel good. Y'all should be proud. I'm proud of you. You all should be proud of yourselves.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. Listen, let me tell you something. There's a lot of grown-ups right now. They're driving to work going, boy, I should do something. And you know what? They don't. It's mm-hmm. not because they're bad people. It's just people get busy and they go, oh, isn't that a shame? We should do something. You three, you're actually doing something. And for the rest of your lives, you can look back at this moment that you're doing something right now and wherever this program goes and be proud of yourself. Someday you'll have kids of your own. You'll tell your own kids about it. But you're already changing the world. So you're way more than just kids of the week. You're something else. I'm very proud of you three guys.
Absolutely. And if people hear this, if some of the young guys out there, and girls too, if some people want to participate in this, how do they do that?
Well, they can reach out to them through their Instagram.
Okay.
Or they can contact us through our Facebook page or call the agency, and I can connect them with the program.
Cool. And go ahead, Joe.
Also, we have a GoFundMe page.
Oh, what is it? Okay. You guys can... Just GoFundMe and search baskets, not bullets?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Look, I'm smarter than I look. All right. Before we run out of time, I want you three guys, when we come back, to just take a couple of seconds for each one of you and just whatever message you want kids to hear. Just anything you want to say. It's like, this is what I want you guys to know about our program or whatever. Just anything you want to say about this, okay?
All right.
Cole, how do you think it's going so far?
Pretty good. I mean,
You feel like you're better than these guys? I mean, as far as the interview goes, because I feel like you're nailing the interview. You feel like maybe
we're in this together.
You're all right, Cole. Sponsored by Allstate, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. In studio with us, three co-kids of the week, and Allstate agency owner Lisa Giacchino, a big, big, big proponent of these three young men, and baskets, not bullets. Again, it's Cole, Jalen, and Drew, and Andrea, get in here.
I just want to know, you guys, again, congratulations on your success. I wanted to ask what you wanted to be when you grow up, but you already act so grown up.
It's a fair question. Cole, what do you want to be when you get old like me?
I would love to be a basketball player, but realistically, I would maybe do something in finance. I don't know. I'm good with math.
Well, you'd be an agent. Yeah. You know, sports agent. But here's the thing, dude. I love that you want to be a basketball player.
Yeah.
You know, because I have a theory, and Lisa, I don't know if you agree with this. Kids don't dream enough today. Kids get their faces buried in screens, and they don't let their imaginations go and go, what do I really want to be? I love that, dude. Mm-hmm. Don't give that up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
At some point, if you turn into a, you know, an old guy that can't run anymore, me, then that's a different story. But let's just go with basketball first, agent second.
Yeah, that's my fun beat.
Excellent. Okay, Jalen.
A football player, probably a professional football player.
Really?
Yeah.
So is there any sport you don't play?
Yeah, hockey, tennis.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We'll get you on some skates. Hey, good luck. What position do you play in football?
I play running back.
Man, nice. You have a go-to guy. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And Drew?
Well, I'd like to be a football or baseball player, but... Okay. That's probably not going to happen.
Well. We just talked about this.
Yeah.
We're dreaming big. All right. So your backup plan after football or hoops is what?
I want to be on Saturday Night Live.
You're in the right spot here. Right.
Yeah, I'll be your comedy mentor. Have you been watching it?
Yes.
This season?
It's good.
It's funny.
I probably shouldn't go anywhere near this, I know, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, Steve.
What are the kids at school saying about our president? And remember, we're on the air.
Well, if we're on the air, I don't know if I can say it.
Well, he did a good thing yesterday. He named a new national security advisor that everybody loves. So hopefully he'll start to figure it out, get it right. You guys are amazing. And Lisa, I can certainly see why you were so struck by them.
Thank you.
Remind everybody about this this documentary, which tipped this whole thing off.
So it's called For the Love of Mom.
Uh-huh.
It was produced by Michael Quendo. And he gives it for free to teachers, educators, has done public showings of it.
Sure.
It was featured on, on one of the WGN shows, I think, on a...
Anna Bolivar, yeah.
Yeah,
So it's heart-wrenching, and we've done a lot of work with other youth that have been affected. We worked with the Burgos family and recently helped establish a scholarship in their daughter's name that was tragically lost to gun violence, and these young men have spoken with the family, and it's something that we all have to get involved with, and we all can do something about it.
Amen to that. And for everybody listening going, wow, it's a shame, I don't know what to do. Well, it's easy. What you need to do is support causes like this.
Exactly. And, support causes like this. Support young youth. We have We Day coming up.
We.org. Yes. Check it out. Go to we.org. Amazing Allstate program that has blown up into a worldwide happening.
Yeah, and there's We Schools. Any educator that wants to get involved or parents that are involved in the school that would like their kids to be part of We Day, they can go to weday.org. And sign up. You know, Allstate strongly believes that good starts young, and you're seeing it with these young men.
No doubt about it. And if you go to GoFundMe and the Baskets Not Bullets webpage, that's a great place to start as well to try to stem the tide of gun violence against kids. I mean, you guys ought to be worried about two things. Working hard in school, chasing girls, and having fun. You shouldn't have to worry about gun violence. But the fact that it is a part of your life and you're doing something about it, I couldn't be more proud of you. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for being here. Thanks to Allstate as well.
Thank you.
And good luck, Lisa, with all the good stuff you're doing.
Thank you.
Allstate, check out Allstate for the information on agency stuff and all the links you need for this as well. But we will highly recommend you go to the GoFundMe page and give whatever you can for Baskets Not Bullets. And you guys enjoy your pizza. It's 6:56. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Go ahead.
Sir, can
Quiet.
You state
Don't be
you're
rude.
Attacking us? Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you
no,
give
I'm
us a question?
I'm not going to give you a
can
question.
You can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
False and unsubstantiated. Can only be attributed to media bias.
I thought maybe they would bring forward a pretty fair forum here tonight.
Sick people. And they put that crap together.
But I think it was one gotcha question, one personal low blow after the other.
There is this constant theme to undercut the enormous support that he has. It's a little demoralizing.
It's gotten to a point where it's not even being reported. And in many cases, the very, very dishonest press doesn't want to report it.
I know you're lying. Your lips are moving. The president actually had a very good presidential afternoon yesterday. in naming a new national security advisor. And a national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, who everybody seems to think is a brilliant pick. So the question is, does he jump on Twitter and, as he has recently done, sort of step on his own message? So far, all quiet on the tweeting front. So the question comes up, what is the answer to the question, the chicken or the egg? Is the president the victim of biased media, or is the media reacting to stuff that the president says and covering it? There's probably some truth on both sides. Young lady, identify yourself.
Lissa Dross-Chrisman.
And weren't you on television for quite some time?
21 years. I was a television journalist.
And aren't you currently involved in the political world?
I work for the one and only Tom Serafin of Serafin & Associates.
Yeah, we like Tom. So as it turns out, you're the perfect person to talk to about this because you've got a view from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So opinion and fact. What's your opinion?
My opinion is that we are living in the age of social media, where social media is more important than the media, unfortunately, but it's true.
Except for the station.
Except for the station, The station has excellent social media, so I would say it's both.
Oh, okay. And the impact of social media creates bias?
The impact of social media is that we have a president of the United States that has 25 million Twitter followers. Yeah. Now, Tom Serafin and I, about a month ago, we gave a crisis social media seminar to some executives out west. Preparing for it, we looked at Fox News Twitter followers, 13 million. At the time, Trump had 20 million followers in 1 month.
He's 5 million up.
5 million up. Fox News this morning right now only has 13.3 million followers.
Well, and you know, we've seen this in all aspects of entertainment as well. You know, the CBS has a late night show on hosted by James Corden that has less than 500,000 people see it in a week. And he's got 12 million people that see his carpool karaoke. It is, as you said, the world we live in.
Well, there's no more appointment television viewing anymore. You know, it hurts me to say it, but we all worked on the 10 o'clock news or the 5 o'clock news. It's what you used to live for. You go home, you watch the news, you go to bed. Now we're inundated with news. We have journalists. We have television hosts. We have a conglomerate of stuff. We have the demand is immense for something to talk about. I watched Chris Wallace on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The entire hour, he referred to 9 different President Trump tweets. 9 different tweets. Wow. No sound bites, mm-hmm. Just tweets. This didn't happen when we were.
No, you'd have to have video. Comments. You'd have to have video in the message or the former host of Meet the Press had died. Tim Russert. Tim would have his whiteboard.
Yeah.
You know, he'd scratch it on his whiteboard. But you're right. Put up a slide of a tweet now.
And so the president, whether you like it or not, is taking command of direct communication with the public. And the media is now forced to react to it.
Right.
I'm sure there are small or younger journalists in every newsroom in the country that are waiting for President Trump to tweet. And once he does, they take a frame grab of it before it goes away so that they can go back to it because he's been deleting tweets and reposting them, especially this infamous enemy of the people tweet. The first one he put out, he missed 2 networks. And he deleted it, and he went back, and he added the 2 networks.
There's nothing.
How do I get 140 characters in when I want to slam everybody?
I think there's nothing that makes my head spin more. And you too. I mean, you're once a journalist, always a journalist. I mean, you have that in you. I mean, it's a personal attack. It's a professional attack, and it's not true. And that's what, you know, I told Steve. I had an event with Patty Vasquez on Sunday, and a question was about fake news, and I had to explain that was that's a manufactured term. There's not fake news. Nobody gets out. I'm not talking about the Inquirer
or the
BuzzFeed or the Onion, right? But I'm talking about
that's
legitimate
entertainment.
Journalism.
That's entertainment.
Right. When you go to cover a news conference, you get the facts and you give the facts to the people.
Well, and a frightening thing is the president subscribes to emotionally and literally to a number of sites that are patently fake.
Well,
Alex Jones and a lot of stuff, frankly, that comes off Drudge.
You know, the beautiful thing about the internet is, unfortunately, anyone can become an expert. So you have news outlets, you have blogs. Bloggers can write whatever they want. But let's talk about this. Let's reverse a little bit. There are days when, you know, Jim Webb, I work with, former political AP, Scott Burnham, Tom, me, there are a bunch of journalists in my office. When we were out covering stories, I'm not saying that we're old, but we were out covering stories. We'd take notes in a press conference.
Right.
Carmen, we'd be in the same press conference.
Sure.
We'd go back, and if the editors would say, hey, what happened? Let me go back to my notes.
Right.
Well, now reporters, I follow a young guy at Channel 2 named Charlie DeMar. He is tweeting all the time because he works nights. He's tweeting from crime scenes and press conferences. And the poor guy still has to do a story and pull together elements. when the producers come and say what happened, he doesn't say, let me go to my notes. He's got to go say, let me go to my Twitter account and read what happened.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go to my Twitter feed.
I told you this at the Women's March. I had asked a younger journalist. I dropped my pen or lost my pen. I was writing people's names down as I was interviewing them. And I said, can I borrow your pen? And he literally looked at me. And we laughed about it. He said, what? I said, a pen. He said, I haven't used a pen in years.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it right.
wait a minute. What?
So, again, chicken or the egg. Let's do traffic. We'll come back and continue to take this question on. Because, again, I think there is truth on both sides. Does Trump start the fire that the media has to react to? Or is there a legitimate, actual, dangerous bias in the media now like ever before? Just to tease us a little bit, my argument would be to be, it's going to be journalists are human beings. And they're pissed off. And that doesn't mean that what they're writing or talking about isn't true. It just means they're more incentivized than ever to come hard at the people that are literally saying, you suck and your industry sucks. So,
the president and I strongly support a free and independent press. But you can anticipate that the president and all of us will continue to call out the media when they play fast and loose with the facts. And the truth is that we have in President Trump someone who has a unique ability to speak directly to the American people. And when the media gets it wrong, I promise you, President Trump will take his case straight to the American people to set the record straight.
Well, the great problem with that theory is that would presume that the president is telling the truth, which we know for a fact he's allergic to facts. So if he's not telling the truth, then how does what the vice president said add up? 1 + 1 = 4. There are occasions, certainly, where the media makes mistakes. But I can tell you right now, and Lissy can back me up on this, Andre as well. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the LA Times, Channel 9, our newsroom. Nobody goes, I really am uncomfortable saying this story the way the truth lays it out. So I'm going to go ahead and say something else. It's not the way it works.
No, we have to tell the truth. We're here to inform.
Yeah, the definition of journalism is you report. You report what you find to be factual. So this constant harangue about fake news is incredibly damaging, which brings us to the poll. The poll now says what?
45% of Americans believe Trump more than the media. That's according to a Fox News poll that was done before the infamous enemies of the people comment. It was done February 11th to the 13th, and 81% of Republicans in that poll believe Trump more than the media.
And the disappointing thing to me, I don't know if you guys agree with this, is I don't think that's so much about a strategy, because I don't believe that Donald Trump's strategic. I think that's about him winning an argument, because everything about him is winning an argument. So if I can call them fake news, fake news, fake news, I'll do the same thing I did to Jeb Bush when I said he didn't have enough energy and all the other things I've done and crooked Hillary. I'm just going to win.
But, you know, the history repeats itself. We can go back to Sam Donaldson and Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. Sam Donaldson was Reagan's harshest question asker. President Jefferson wrote in 1807, "Nothing can now be believed which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle." So there's a history of presidents and the media clashing. It's just amplified now because everyone walks around looking down at their phones all the time.
Yeah, but I think it's different now. I really do. I think it's different because I think every president, even Nixon, would go behind closed doors. He'd come up with his enemies list. He'd do other things. This is the first time we've had the president of the United States come out publicly and say everything they say is BS. It's just, it's outrageous.
It's completely outrageous. It's mind-boggling in many ways because, you know, there are agencies. We do talk about, not we as journalists, but in the media, BuzzFeed, and as we mentioned before, The Onion, and Fox News even skews right, MSNBC skews left. I get that. But the major networks out there, NBC, CBS, ABC, WGN, of course, when we present a story, it's a factual story. You know, now Steve Cochran could come on in the morning and say, you know what, here's the story, and then talk about it and give an opinion about it.
Right.
But journalists are not going to get up there and say, give an opinion about a particular
story. Well, Reince Priebus. I like Reince Priebus. And I don't know what stage of unraveled he is at this point. But Reince Priebus over the weekend was talking about the New York Times is completely wrong about this because we say that the New York Times is wrong. That's not how it works.
Well, you got to go back to the great Melissa McCarthy skit, the first one of Scott Spencer. And the way she turned the, no, it's wrong because you said it was wrong because you got it wrong because you're saying it's wrong. I didn't say it's wrong. You said it was wrong.
I'm using your words. I don't know where this goes, but he has the power to make it better. Because as president of the United States, even though he's only talking to 40% of the country at this point who are really hearing him, that 45% number on Fox, shave 5% off it. Let's say it's 40%. 40% of the country doubting what they hear in the news and at any level is incredibly damaging to a democracy.
It is, but I really think there's going to be a leveling out at some point. You know, we're talking only 31 days in office.
Well, he's got a chance now.
He does have a chance now. But there's got to be a leveling off where the media is going to start, you know, they are becoming the media. The media is becoming the story, and that should be pulled back. And I think there's going to be some leveling off. But I want to, poor Carm, I want to bring you into this because there was a very, very, one of our favorite Bulls players ever, Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
He was flamboyant, but was he effective?
Yeah, very much so, sure.
So we're looking at Donald Trump, who's very flamboyant, but is he effective? We don't know yet. It's only been 31 days into his presidency. We don't know how he's going to be able to govern going forward, but he's using this social media, which is overshadowing what is he really doing in the first 31 days in office.
We are so privileged to work in this beautiful building, which is a landmark, the Tribune Tower. And when you walk in the marble, there's all these etchings. And Stacey St. Clair posted this, Steve, over the weekend. This is James Madison, and she put another president's take. And it says, you know, etched in our building, to the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been gained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Yeah, and even Jefferson, who we talked about earlier, who hated newspapers. Jefferson said, I would rather have newspapers without a government than a government without newspapers. Because it's like McCain. McCain this weekend said the same thing in Germany. McCain said, listen, I don't like you guys, but the fact is we need you. You can't have a functional democracy without people to check those that are in power.
Right. And we have to sit back, and everyone in the White House press room, again, it's a bit of a spectacle, but they are there to do a job. And we, as viewers or listeners or readers, have the ability to choose where our news comes from. That's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
But we go into our comfort zone. And again, let's go back to the Wayback Machine when we didn't have CNN. When CNN started, it was Chicken Noodle News. Fox News didn't exist. We had 2579 and 32.
Yep.
And that's all we had in Tribune and Sun-Times and the Daily Herald. Mm-hmm. Now we've got, you know, all this to choose from. We gravitate to what we want to watch or listen to or believe.
Anything that reinforces how we believe.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I would encourage everybody, I say this all the time, consume whatever news you want to consume, but then find one thing you don't agree with.
Yeah.
And read it. Consume it. Watch it. And ask yourself, well, why is that? That and see if it's factual. Don't just go, it's wrong because they disagree with Trump or they agree with Trump. Actually, look behind it. Look at the work that went into it. I'm telling you right now, there is, regardless of how I feel about Donald Trump, there is no such thing as fake news amongst major networks and all the other things. There is fake news at the National Enquirer, quoted by President Trump. There is fake news at that Alex Jones creeps site, whatever that thing's called. There's fake news that gets pumped through Drudge. And it's on the left as well. You know, Bill Maher's not a news guy. The far left and the far right are not the solution. They're the problem.
That's true. But again, I go back to, I know deep in the heart of hearts of all the journalists that are out there, they are reporting on the truth. And others may not like what they hear, but not everyone likes the truth. And that there is the truth. And journalists are here to inform. They're not here to sway. They're here to inform.
Yeah, and I'm here to tell you this morning that McMaster is a phenomenal pick for NSA. Put that in the I Like Trump column.
That's coming up in the big story.
Lissa, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Please say hi to your friends at Seraphim.
I will. Thank you very much.
And 7:29, we'll come back. You got sports coming up here in a second?
I do, Steve.
All right.
Some big stats coming up in the sports.
If you want, listen closely because Carmen is struggling hard this morning because there's no sports to talk about. So listen in the context of the sport and how hard he works at finding a solid minute of this.
You know, there was no NBA last night, Steve. Spring training games haven't started. Blackhawks didn't play. It's very rough in this seat today. Very difficult.
Right, right. God bless the work you're doing. 729, big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Top concern. I think what he's doing with immigration is not right.
I am very
very upset about the potential loss of American values.
I'm rallying against the Trump agenda and rallying for immigrant rights and women's rights.
Living here, I have been bullied from who I am, whatever I am. I am a Muslim.
We're just so angry about this president. We've been around a while, and we've seen some things. We've mostly voted Republican, but this guy is way beyond the pale, like nothing we've ever seen. And we've been through Nixon.
740 Trump protests all over the country. And again, on the heels of the McMaster pick yesterday, will Donald Trump be able to live in a good news cycle today? Or will it be ugly? In the meantime, one last point about the last discussion. Because a couple people texting in going, well, where's an example? Where's an example where Trump's wrong? The president, every day since he's been president and throughout the campaign, cites numbers and statistics that are not just wrong, they're false, that he pulls out of thin air. Or, to be kind, he inadvertently makes up, for instance, his big press conference the other day about how he had the biggest Electoral College victory in history, mm-hmm. which was live fact-checked by Peter Gallagher. Is that right? Peter Gallagher?
Alexander.
Peter Alexander.
Yeah.
From NBC News. More recently, on Friday night, after the or on Saturday, I should say, after he made the comment about the terrible terrorist incident in Sweden, the Swedish government said, our crime rate is not going up. So this person who the documentary on Fox cited as a source is someone who is not legitimate.
Right.
Okay, that is a statement from the Swedish government. For the Trump administration then go, that's fake news, that's wrong. No, that's your opinion. And that's an opinion you might want to keep inside the Oval Office and maybe in a cabinet meeting or in a hallway and not come out and try to shout down another government who made a statement. Now, you could go out and try to factually prove that the Swedish government has a dramatic increase in crime if you choose to. Mm-hmm. But to call it fake news, to just say, I'm right, they're wrong, my mom can beat up your mom, is just no, it's no way to run the country.
Right. No. And as we've been saying all along, facts are facts. I know that sounds simple, but it's really true.
Well, it is maddening because you try to go, come on. I mean, come on. This is not hard. It's news or it isn't.
Right.
It's 7:41, and you heard the opening there with the protests going on. Ryan Burroughs here from WGN News and ABC News. What do we know about protests in Chicago?
Yesterday, we saw another one. A few hundred people out there, right? Actually, we could see it from where we were on Wacker, standing in front of the Trump Tower. A pretty symbolic photo opportunity there. You know, it was strong at times, a little weaker at other times. And this protest yesterday, this Not My President's Day demonstration, was kind of your buffet of all of the anger and frustration. We had people angry at cabinet nominees. We had people from the LGBT community. We had people who were immigrants' rights people. We had ACLU people. We had DAPL people, people out against the Dakota Access Pipeline. I mean, pretty much if you have anything that stood against Donald Trump, you were there speaking in one form or another. A lot of younger people, a lot of people obviously.
Kind of a crowd. How big?
A few hundred. I would not say quite thousand. But
how's that compared to around the country?
There were stronger ones in various cities. L.A. had a pretty strong one. It visually, it looked pretty good because they were in kind of a tight area on the corner over here. But I mean, nothing too serious. They weren't breaking windows or anything like that. It was very, very peaceful.
You know, it sort of reminds me. And listen, not only do you have a constitutional right to protest, you should protest if you're upset about something. But it sort of reminds me of the. What was the not just Access Wall Street? What was the Wall Street protest for years
Occupy.
Ago? Occupy.
In fact, there were many references to that yesterday. I saw people walking by going, "Oh, we had a much bigger crowd for Occupy," or this was kind
of. But the
like
problem
Occupy.
With Occupy Wall Street was the same thing you're talking about. There was no cohesive message.
Yeah.
And with a lack of a cohesive message, it's hard for it to be covered with a cohesive message. So the message you come away with is, "Wow, they really don't like Trump."
Yeah, that was part of it yesterday. Now, granted, there have been more focused protests and demonstrations. We saw the Women's March. Obviously, that one was very, very large. We've got immigration rallies that have been very, very large. Coming up next month, one of the Dakota Access Pipeline marches will be on Washington, expected to be very, very large. Today, there's going to be one involving clergy, over policing, mass incarcerations, and also this is part of the Resist Trump Tuesday. So everyone's kind of folding some of these into various protests. And, you know, some of the message may be getting lost as these continue to progress over the weeks and days right. and months.
That was kind of my question to you too, Ryan, because when I heard the sound bites and I heard the stories that we were covering, again, Black Lives Matter, there were different groups, mm-hmm. a plethora of basically everybody. And I know there's different protests too. I know March 8th is International Women's Day, so there's going to be another one. But is the message getting lost? I mean, I know you don't have the White House reaction, but is it kind of like, oh, there they go again. They're all lumping in together.
Well, you know, it gets to the point now from a news perspective, Andre. We see these in the morning. Okay, there's going to be another protest. This one's going to be at Federal Plaza. Okay, this one's going to be outside of Trump. You know, I mean, it gets to the point where you start thinking from a news perspective, our resources. Okay, do we need to go out and get more people holding signs and saying, hey, hey, ho, ho, or do we cover something else? So from that perspective, obviously the massive marches like the Women's March, very valuable. And you know, graphically, you're able to see it from the helicopter, how massive it is. Some of these smaller ones, especially during the weekdays, you know, it's kind of hard to validate sending multiple reporters or one reporter. I saw yesterday some of the television stations just sent a photog. So, you know, you're getting to the point now where it's like, all right, you know, how do we put this as far as the value of the news content?
Well, those are the type of discussions that have to go on here, but then you also work for ABC, so nationally ABC has to decide where you guys are going to go.
Exactly, and yesterday yeah. we had Katursky at the New York one and Ryan Burrow with the Chicago one, and it's like, okay, well, you know, how many different versions of hey, hey, ho, ho are you going to get? So, yeah.
Come up with the new slogan. Hey, ho, hey, ho, ho is used for everything.
Right.
The teachers.
There are other things Obama. That rhyme.
There were some funny signs out there again. You know,
any of them you can repeat?
Nope, not too many okay. of them. But yeah, yeah. A lot of people bring in families. Yesterday was unique, obviously. It was warm out. It was 70 degrees out, and it was a day when a lot of people were off. So that was another reason that made yesterday's demonstration unique.
I don't understand. Listen, I love creativity, but I don't understand if you know kids are going to be there, why some of those signs would be out there. I mean, you have little kids.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
It can be. Yeah. Some of the people, though, who have brought families out, they like, you know, showing the kids what democracy looks like. Another one of the catchphrases, this is what democracy looks right, like. And, right, you know, right. hopefully they shield their eyes to some of the signs. But and to be honest with you, we had to edit some of the audio, too, that we sent back because some of them had some expletives we could not use.
Well, that's the thing. The anti-Trump crowd and the pro-Trump crowd, there are knuckleheads on both sides.
Yes.
I mean, that's an ultimate truth.
A lot of emotions.
What's interesting, too, and I'll bring up, you know, we posted live video from out there and we had like over 200 comments on it. Most of them people against the protesters, which is interesting to watch because the protesters are out in the street making their comments heard. And the people in support of Donald Trump or against the protesters are making their comments below right. on Facebook, which, you know, it's pretty incredible.
Last question from you.
And props to Chicago. Don't you think, too? I mean, because you've been all over covering protests. Was around last year, you know, the country for the election coverage and whatnot. But Chicago's always, especially with the Women's March too, you get a crowd of that size and it's peaceful. And most of these movements are relatively peaceful here. We haven't had very few incidents, just a few arrests here and there. But again, for disorderly, you know, not sure. breaking windows or stepping.
Well, I can
cars.
Tell you, in this case, police blocked off all of Wabash. You could not get anywhere near the Trump Tower. You could not cross over that bridge unless you were a single individual person. They weren't allowing people with signs to cross over there. So they had a pretty good idea of where these protesters were going to go if they were going to be on the move. And I think that the protesters realize, look, if we start breaking windows and creating chaos, it's going to dilute the message. So I think they're
good.
Getting smarter on
yeah,
that
good.
Perspective.
Last word. Too, on this fake news thing, at least for now, because obviously it's not going away. WGN reported last week that President Trump was putting ground troops on the ground in Syria. No, we did not. Because this goes to listening. You know, we talked before about the fact that don't just stick on the stuff you agree with. Don't live in that echo chamber. Actually find something you disagree with and find out why the person wrote it, said it, or put it on camera. The text continues, we listened to WGN all day at work. Many of us went home very upset. Fake news? Honest mistake? Neither. It was a leak from the Pentagon and also, frankly, from the White House that said there was a consideration of ground troops going into northern Syria. That's the story.
Right. And the truth part is the attribution, like you just said, the Pentagon is reporting. The Associated Press is reporting.
Right.
You attribute it to your source.
It's become right. very, very news. Valuable these last few weeks,
exactly.
hasn't it? We really have
yep.
to. And you know what? I have to tell you, the one thing about all of this fake news stuff that's going on, it really has put the pressure on us in the news media to make sure we get it right. We're not slouching. And in fact, you know, in this situation, I think that we have become better as journalists in that we're you know, looking and filtering out the false information versus the true stuff a little better.
I agree completely.
I would agree with that fundamentally as well. And also, again, the inspiration is, and this is where President Trump doesn't do himself any favors, you are cranking up the media to not only be as good as they can be, but to spend more money than they've spent before, to create more investigative units. The Washington Post is losing millions every day. The Washington Post has hired 60 new investigative reporters. You don't think Jeff Bezos and company at the Washington Post are doing that? Because they're going, this guy is a threat, in their opinion, at the ownership level to the democracy of this country. We're the newspaper that took down Richard Nixon. We at least have got to be staffed up enough to make sure that President Trump is not doing the same thing. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? Subscribe to the Chicago Tribune. You haven't done that in a while? Well, do that. Just supporting. Listen to us. Subscribe to the Tribune. Watch Channel 9. Call me at home. Thank you, Ryan.
Yep.
Traffic from Mary Vandeveld. And then we're going to give you the worst rush hour traffic in the country. Actually, in the world. And guess what? Chicago didn't make the top 15. All right, surveys of the worst traffic in the world. The worst traffic in the world. I actually have competing surveys here. One's a top 15, one's a top 10. Let's go with the top 15 first. This is from the TomTom Go. Remember when you had to have a GPS unit? And TomTom Go was one of the people that invented them. They look like a radar detectors that you'd put on your dashboard.
Oh, yeah. They were like the Garmins, too.
Yeah,
that you'd affix
exactly
to the windshield. Yeah.
And Garmins kind of blended their business. I don't know what TomTom does. TomTom must have expanded, too.
I had one. Sat on it. Broke it. Still feel the pain.
Number 15 of the 2017 worst evening rush hour traffic cities. These are the people that would be listening to Roe and Anna. Beijing, China comes in at number 15. I would think because of the size of Beijing, they would have been higher.
I would think.
And the smog.
But don't they have a lot of bikes there?
Yeah, well, a lot of these places
do.
Yeah, most of them are bike infested. Does that count?
Number 14. Yeah, it does actually. Yeah, it's however how much time the both these surveys, it's how long it takes to get from one point to another. You know,
on anything.
Key thoroughfare.
A car, a bike, anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 14, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And you said that's the only...
The only American city in the list. On this list.
That. Wow.
Number 13, Shenzhen, China. A city that most Americans don't even know exists.
I've been to Shanghai. Does that count?
No, not on this list.
I just want to see you pronounce the next two.
Number 12 on the list is Shijiazhang, China.
Good job.
Very nice.
I'm not even close. Number 11 is Guangzhou, China.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10 is Santiago, Chile.
Wow.
Number 9 is Zhuhai, China, which is also how you say hello.
Seems to be a theme here.
Number 8 is St. Petersburg, Russia. Number 7 is Istanbul, Turkey. Number 6, another city you haven't heard of, Chongqing, China. Number 5, Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no wonder they're angry. It's winter, 11 and a half months a year. Putin's running the country.
You're 5th on the list.
Yeah, come on.
Get anywhere.
Jakarta, Indonesia at 4. Bucharest, Romania at 3. Anybody been to Mexico City?
Nope.
I don't think so either. I've been to Mexico, but not Mexico
City. A lot of
City.
Smog in Mexico City, too. Mexico City's in at number 2. And the number one worst traffic in the world, Bangkok, Thailand.
Gosh. Wow. I can't believe Chicago and New York weren't even in the top 15.
Or even Washington, D.C. Their traffic's horrible.
Well, here's another survey that I would have take issue with. This is also, and it's funny because both came out this week. This is from INRIX, INRIX analysts. I don't know what INRIX does, but they think they know a lot about traffic. These are the top 10 worst cities in the world for traffic. Number 10, Miami, Florida. I lived in Miami. You can get anywhere you want in Miami. Now, there's only two real north-south routes that you could take, but it's a breeze getting around Miami.
I didn't have a problem in Miami when I was there.
Number 9 is Paris. I didn't have any problems getting around Paris when I was there.
Love Paris.
Never been.
No problem.
I had problems. Roundabouts.
Problems speaking a language.
Problem with the people. No, you and
I
Dean.
I said good morning to a guy that said good night to me. I mean, a lot of that.
You and Dean are fluent.
Yes, that's true.
Wee-wee.
Number 8 is Atlanta, Georgia. The people of Atlanta, I have family in Atlanta and friends in Atlanta, and you know a lot of folks at CNN, the home base there. The people of Atlanta like to talk about how bad traffic is.
No.
Okay. Traffic gets bad there. There are highways that jam up. It ain't Chicago.
Yeah, because they don't have to deal with the elements.
No, come on.
And see, none of the elements are in any of these surveys, right?
Atlanta's airport is the worst. I mean, their air traffic, every time I fly.
You mean getting out on time?
Yes. I have.
Yeah, getting out on time. I have to say, though, the way they move people in there is pretty good.
But traffic wise, cars?
Yeah.
I've never had a problem.
Number seven, London. You know, when I've been to London, I haven't had a problem getting around London. Plus, they have those cool giant cabs
and phone
booths. The big black cabs. Mm-hmm. Number six, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Number five, Bogota, Colombia. Number four, San Francisco, California. I haven't been to San Francisco in years, but the last time I was there, no problem. No problem getting around. Actually, I take that back. I was there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
No problem.
I don't remember much of my trip to San Francisco.
Number three, New York. Yeah. Yeah, getting crosstown in Manhattan, forget about it. It's not going to happen.
Awful. That was one of the first times I'd ever experienced gridlock on just regular streets.
Well, here's why. You know, two guys in a truck, and I'm just using it as an example. I have no problem with two guys in a truck. There are 50 different versions of two guys in a truck, and in Manhattan, people are moving every day.
Right.
So the streets are built, so they're essentially two cars wide plus parking on either side, and that's it.
Right.
So you put a truck in the middle of the street that you can't get around, you're stuck. You're not going anywhere.
And there's no alleys. That's why, you know, you can normally in the city put your moving truck or your garbage in the alley. They don't have alleys.
Moscow, number two. And the worst traffic city in the world, again, I'm not buying it, Los Angeles, California.
It's bad.
Let me tell you something. For you people driving right now, if you care at all about Chicago's ranking for terrible traffic, you will park your car in the middle of the Kennedy right now and get out.
No.
Is that just because of the La La Land fame, maybe? When the opening traffic scene?
East Coast, West Coast bias.
All right.
We'll come back to the news in a second on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
8:12, Dean Richards live from Channel 9. And Dean, coming up at 9 o'clock in the CLTV hour.
That's when you're on CLTV.
That's what CLTV does, that fancy simulcast situation.
Some sort of technical...
It's a miracle.
Voodoo.
Miracle's a word you're looking for.
Yep.
Samer, would you call this See the Purple? Yeah, See the Purple. To celebrate Northwestern basketball success, See the Purple. We'll have something purple in the studio, big and purple. And first person to identify it after you hear the cat roar. How many callers you want on that? You want to go caller 720, Dean?
How about 7,200?
That's a thought, too. How about caller 7? Caller 7
Don't
after
thank
you
me,
hear.
Mike. Don't thank me. It's okay.
He's saying you're number one. caller 7 after you hear the cat roar. Tell us where you see the purple in studio, either at CLTV or on the WGN video stream.
Oh, there it is.
That's the roar, but not yet, you people. 8:13.
Spoiler alert.
How are you?
Giant eggplant. Biggest eggplant you've ever seen in your life.
It's not an eggplant. That's my head. Oh, I'm sorry. I was distracted by the Eddie and Jobo United Auto Insurance commercial.
I've never seen those.
Yeah, they're strong. Yeah, they're strong.
They had to put those on TV.
Those are nice guys. You know Eddie and Jobo?
I do.
Yeah, they're nice guys.
I do.
Yeah. All right, so here's what's coming up on the list. David Cassidy news, Lisa Marie update. Ryan Seacrest, the house is on fire. We believe Rick Dees may have said it.
Rick Dees.
Well, Ryan Seacrest replaced Rick Dees. You remember that?
Well, in 1976.
Well, no, it was actually.
Disco.
How long has Seacrest been around?
Disco Duck.
Seacrest's been around a while now, hasn't he?
Yes.
And,
he's a veteran.
Hamilton, there's a cool Hamilton show. Andrea was telling me about this earlier that you're going to tell us about. And then Oscar predictions coming up as well.
I started my Oscar predictions today.
Have you seen all the movies?
I have seen every damn last one of them.
Now, do you see the marginal categories, too, like the foreign films, the short foreign films?
As many as I possibly
can. The foreign
can.
Films with short people in them. Do you see all those?
Best documentary short.
I've tried to get to as many of them as possible. I'm not always. Those are sometimes the movies that, as they say, fall through the cracks.
The best documentary shorts. Now, those are documentaries, but the people in them all are wearing shorts. Is that how that works?
They're just height challenge.
Oh, height challenge.
One of the best documentary short subjects this year is called Joe's Violin.
Uh-huh.
I got to Mike's violin, Jimmy's violin.
But you didn't make it to
Betty's
Joe?
Violin. I did not get to see Joe's violin this year.
That is a tough break. I think, is the White Helmets?
White Helmets is up for best documentary shorts, yes.
That's the only documentary short I've seen. But it was great. It's about these volunteers in Syria who run into a building after it's been hit or bombed and try to save people. It's an amazing story.
Do they wear white helmets?
That's exactly where it comes
Thus
from.
That's the name?
Nothing gets by you.
You didn't get to see Watini, My Homeland?
I did not see Watini, My Homeland, but did Carmen, didn't you have a walk-on Watini, My Homeland?
I did. Steve, it was great.
You were the neighbor kid.
Yep. That was me.
Yeah,
Watini, My Homeland.
Jimmy Watini's best friend.
Yeah, yeah. Can Carmen come over and play?
Was he in a bikini?
After all, we're here at Watini's Homeland.
Hi, Mrs. Cleaver. Is Watini home?
I feel really bad if this topic is horrible. But I also know none of the audience will have the energy to look up what Watini... Think about that, though. They'd have to look up what Watini, My Homeland is and then do the complaint text. Who's going to go to that effort?
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
I'm Googling it now.
All right, at 8:16, we'll come back. Dean will do the show business stuff, and we'll continue to do whatever this show is. We probably shouldn't talk about it anymore.
Oh, you guys are terrible.
I didn't know what it was.
Mark and I have recused ourselves from this conversation completely, although you had a walk-on role.
Apparently Watini is a widow in Syria, leaving her homeland to find a better future for her children.
Her three young children.
All right, I just want to apologize on behalf of everyone.
Right. We may be right. That's like, hey, can Watini come out and play? No, we're going to find a new homeland.
Good cover. I'd like to apologize for everyone on this show ever.
This could be the end of my career. Right.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. Never really got started.
I've
stayed 17.
I feel you. I was going to say it myself. Thank you for naming it.
Hey, Watini, should we go to Sweden?
I don't think
we should go to Sweden.
All right. Those hate texts coming in now at 312-981-7200. 8:17, here's your traffic.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment
back to Dean at Channel 9. By the way, it would be less offensive if we'd actually gotten the title of the movie right. It's Watani, My Homeland.
Watani?
Watani, My Homeland. And the central character, central figure in it, Hala Kamil, will be at the Oscars because I'm flying her in because I felt guilty about the last segment.
How did that happen?
Out of which happened?
The
whole thought process that got you into Watani, My Homeland. Like,
have you heard Dean and I do this?
I have, yes, Steve.
Yeah.
It's actually the number one thing.
Not exactly something you could chart.
Okay.
Yes.
Or control.
We rehearsed it for the last couple of days. We've been rehearsing.
Yeah, we're very careful.
Mark, as long as they don't start talking French during the bit.
Don't you threaten us.
Watani, Homeland of mine.
Let's get the bad stuff out of the way.
I like that we know it's already a sensitive subject, but we still won't stop.
Yeah, well, let's get the bad stuff out of the way with great detail here, because we have a Lisa Marie update.
Oh, we have... actually, I guess it's a good update.
Oh, it's good. Okay.
Yesterday...
Yeah, probably doesn't fit here, then.
Yeah, yesterday we took... Well, it's still a sad story that Lisa Marie is going through this huge divorce battle with her estranged husband, and they found sexually explicit... Allegedly found sexually explicit photographs on his computer. So Lisa Marie had the children taken out of his house. Whether they were visiting or what the circumstances under which why they were there are not completely clear. But the kids were taken out. The initial report said that they were put into protective custody. Yesterday it was learned that they were actually put into the home of Priscilla Presley, their grandmother. Lisa Marie's mom and the widow of Elvis Presley, and that's where the kids are right now. They're doing fine with their grandmother, but this terrible battle between Lisa Marie and her ex continues. reports are that she's just out of rehab, that she's in amazingly in huge financial trouble, because she gets a pretty sizable monthly check from the inheritance from her father. So all of that ugliness is still going on. The kids are not with their parents, but apparently with a loving family member. So that's good.
You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Trouble can find you. And in this case, it certainly has, because you wouldn't think, of all the things in that story, you certainly wouldn't think that Lisa Marie Presley would have money troubles.
Right, right, yeah. And everyone thinks, oh, if I just had $1 million, I mean, my life would be set. That's, you know, just how many of these rich people do we always hear of that have even bigger problems because they got success and fame and notoriety too fast and couldn't handle it? Lindsay Lohan was on The View the other day,
mm-hmm.
You know, and she seems like she's really kind of got her life back on track.
Oh, really?
Again, by the way she's talking. But one of the things that she talked about was too much success, too much money, too many people around her who never said no too early. And, you know, she succumbed to that very enticing
thing. That's the type of thing. I mean, that path will lead you right to the White House, and nobody wants it. We can agree on that. What are they doing with Hamilton and the CPS students?
This is pretty cool. In New York, they started a program called the Hamilton Education Program, in which they invited kids from their public school system there to come and see the play at no cost, because the tickets are, you know, super expensive for most people. But they started a program in which if students studied a certain curriculum of American history that included Alexander Hamilton, or as I like to say, Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, you really can't say it without hearing that in your head.
And also the other founding fathers, that they became eligible to become part of this program, come see the show for free, and also engage in a Q&A with the performers after the show. So they've started a similar program in Chicago, in which there will be 10 all-student performances of nothing but CPS students coming to see the show, participating in the Q&A, the whole deal. And I think it's a super cool thing. The Rockefeller Foundation is underwriting it, and some other very generous benefactors. But I think it's a really cool thing for kids who otherwise might not be able to come and see the show.
And you're going
to
be there, right, Andrea?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. You're going too, right, Dean?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to talk to some of the kids during their lunch break, you know, because some of them have written songs and poetry and
they're
monologues.
Going to perform.
That'll be neat.
And not to toot our own horn here, but John DeCoste and I are really coming along well with Millard.
Right.
Our musical on Millard Fillmore. We
should do a similar program for the students.
We could do that. But they probably wouldn't want to come. One of the show-stopping tunes, though, that I really like.
You could do it a little differently, where you actually pay them to come and see the show.
That's possible. I think they'd like, there's a show-stopping song, a number, as we call it in the business, called Mama, Why Didn't You Name Me Bob? which is one of the songs in it. Because Millard, you know, creates a lot of problems.
Touching ballad, I've heard it.
David Cassidy is sick.
This is a sad story, because there have been a lot of stories over the past couple of years where he's gotten DUIs and have had a series of problems, of history of problems with mostly alcohol. And over the weekend, there was some video that had floated over the internet of him in concert, forgetting lyrics and stumbling through songs. And it really was kind of sad. And a lot of the news sources chalked it up to, there's David Cassidy again, you know, having trouble getting through a concert. But yesterday, David Cassidy revealed that he is living with dementia. And that was that's the reason for this erratic behavior that he exhibited at the concert over the weekend. His grandfather had dementia, his mother had dementia. And he said yesterday that he always somehow knew that he also would have it. And he's decided to stop touring, stop performing, and concentrate on his health and living out with as much happiness as he possibly can now with this terrible affliction.
Well, we wish him well. Could you have found one happy story in the middle of this collection today?
Do we have one? Ryan Seacrest had a fire at his house.
Now you're talking. Ryan Seacrest.
Nobody was injured. That's the happy part. Nobody
Hamilton was happy.
What's happening? That's a good point. The Ryan Seacrest fire is because he is hot.
It was an electrical fire that was isolated to just one part of his home. Nobody was hurt. So, you know, that's good news. And when the fire was extinguished, he said to the fireman, "Fire out." That part's not true. That part's not true. I don't know if you can figure that out for yourself or not.
Do you know that Ryan Seacrest is, it's his fault in regards to the Kardashians?
Oh, putting them on the E!
Yeah,
channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
And he invented them. Do you know that Ryan Seacrest was a fan of my show? And in, I don't know, 96, 97, something like that, I was in L.A. doing something. And was doing this work at a studio. And the guy who was touring the studio goes, "You know Ryan Seacrest?" And Ryan Seacrest is a pretty good disc jockey in Los Angeles. And I go, yeah. I've heard of him. I don't know him. He goes, "Well, he's a fan. You got a second to say hi?" I go, "I got to get to the airport, man, my plane." Because I did. I was running late for a flight. I haven't talked to him since.
No.
It's been 20 years.
That's what you get.
You snubbed Ryan Seacrest?
Well, I didn't. I was going to miss a plane.
Here's the other part of that story. So Seacrest, heartbroken that Steve blew him off in the airport, basically, continues walking down the terminal. Who does he run into? Watani from Syria.
Oh, no.
And,
and invites you to the Oscars.
Says, "Hey, that's an interesting story. They're having a drink in the airport bar."
Yeah, she pitched the movie, and I said, "Absolutely."
Oh. Yeah, and the rest is Oscar history.
Speaking of the Oscars, you got nomination predictions?
Yeah, today I'm revealing my predictions for Best Actor and Actress. In the Best Actor category, Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea.
Yep.
Andrew Garfield, Hacksaw Ridge.
Nope.
Ryan Gosling, La La Land.
Nope.
Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic.
Nope.
Denzel Washington in Fences.
Denzel.
I am also picking Denzel Washington to win that category. Here are the reasons why. The momentum, it's really interesting.
It's shifted.
In the last month. It has, among the many things that have shifted in the last month.
Some stuff on me that shifted in the last 6 months.
The momentum is definitely... A month ago, my choice would have been very different because Casey Affleck was winning everything. And what he didn't win, Ryan Gosling was winning. But very revealing at the Screen Actors Guild Award, which is, these are actors voting for actors, also happened to be the largest voting block for Academy voters. They surprised everyone by picking Denzel Washington as Best Actor at the SAG Awards. That means something if they vote the same way. It's very, very likely that Denzel could wind up winning. Not to mention, Casey Affleck, during the award season, there's this whole sexual harassment charge.
And this is while people are still voting, right?
Well, yeah, the voting, actually today is the last day of voting. Yeah. End of today will be the end of the voting. But this whole sexual harassment thing, which he has denied, is hanging over his head. That may have a factor, but I think Denzel's going to win this one.
How about the ladies?
For Best Actresses, Isabelle Huppert in the French language movie.
Oh, Isabelle Poopy Pants.
She is nominated. Ruth Negga in the interracial love story Loving.
What you talking about, Willis?
Natalie Portman in Jackie.
Seems great.
Awesome. Emma Stone in La La Land.
Yeah, she was great.
And Meryl Streep as the world's worst singer, Donald Trump's favorite actress.
Yeah, overrated hack, Meryl Streep.
Florence Foster Jenkins. I am picking Emma Stone to win.
I think everybody is. I think it's going to be...
Portman?
Natalie Portman for Jackie.
She was good, but the movie was not that great. That could be her.
No, the movie was a little weird the way they told the story, but no, I like Natalie Portman.
Her performance was amazing.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to want to acknowledge at least one of the performances from La La Land. And Emma Stone, I mean, she's doing comedy, she's doing drama, she's singing, she's dancing.
She's ridiculously talented.
Her performance, I think Ryan Gosling also was very good in the movie, but her performance was just mind-blowingly great. So,
is there a chance that one could cancel out the other and Emily Poopy Pants could win?
It's possible. I mean, oui. I'm hoping that because on Monday, if we're able to say that a French actress won,
oh,
able to
so
report
great.
That, our entire recap on Monday is going to be nothing but our great. Stupid French accents.
Fantastic. Well, I've always got a big old croissant for you.
I wouldn't say stupid. I would say spot on.
Spot on is exactly right. All right, Dean, good luck to you there at the cafe.
Merci beaucoup.
Don't you swear at me. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Let's groove tonight. 8:44. I almost had a disc jockey flashback there. Well, I could keep talking and then stop at just the right time. It is, that's called hitting the post. You know about hitting the post?
Perfect. Oh, yeah, the old DJ days.
The most useless skill known to mankind.
I wouldn't say the most useless.
You're the best disc jockey ever, and I mean this. John Landecker. Landecker was the best disc jockey I ever heard.
It's the name. John Records Landecker?
Yeah.
Anyway, John, if you're listening this morning, I hope you are, and just saying hi. Really good guy. 8:44, and let's say hello in studio to Ashley Galante. Was I close?
Yeah, you got it right. Thank
Ashley,
you.
Ashley, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
This is Eating Disorder Week. Get real close to that microphone if you would. And Eating Disorder Week is a big deal because we know how many men and women suffer?
So currently 20 million women and 10 million men will suffer from an eating disorder at some point in their life. Eating disorders have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. So that's why Meter Awareness Week coming up next week is really important to talk about.
Is it all anorexia or bulimia, or are there a bunch of different types?
There are so many different kinds, Steve. We have binge eating disorder. There's non-specified eating disorders. You can fall on the spectrum of any one of those eating disorders, which is why it's so important to talk about them.
So it's like cancer, arthritis, autism. It's an umbrella term for a bunch of different things.
Absolutely.
Does the medical community take this seriously?
I think we're starting to, but with the theme of Awareness Week coming up next week, we're really trying to push screening. So we're saying it's time to talk about it. So while we do have the medical community and the mental health community talking about this, we're really just starting to delve into the importance and really address this as a public health concern and start breaking down those myths and barriers and really getting to the facts about eating disorders.
Ashley, talking about it obviously helps and brings more awareness too, but what's something just we can do in, I guess, our everyday life to make people aware or to even help?
Yeah, so I think really breaking down the stigma surrounding eating disorders is really important. I think our society for so long has viewed eating disorders as a young, white, female disease. And we know now that that's just not true. And I think Nita's done a really great job in the recent years of really shining a light on the marginalized communities and getting into those communities and bringing them to the table to talk about ways to support them and talk about prevention and access to treatment and just really getting the input from those communities that maybe haven't been heard before.
What do you say to moms, dads, boyfriends, girlfriends, friends who see somebody they love putting themselves through hell and you can't get them to get the help they need? What do you do?
Yeah, so I think more than just talking is listening. It's really important to listen because eating disorders thrive in silence and isolation. And just letting somebody know that you're there to help and you're going to be their sounding board and be a gentle reminder and supporter of them and hold them accountable for when they do start to seek treatment and are trying to find those resources. Having somebody to hold you accountable is priceless.
And the stance that you gave early on, too, this isn't just women. There are a lot of men involved.
There are so many men involved. And I feel like Nita's also done a really good job of that in past years by bringing those voices to the table. At their conference last year and the year before, they've had so many men included on these panels. And I remember one gentleman in particular like calling out to men to, you know, find your tribe and that you're not alone. And there's so many resources out there, no matter what your race, gender, ethnicity, sexual orientation, whatever your background is, that there are other people out there that are looking to support you.
National Eating Disorders Week, Awareness Week, I should say, is next week. And again, the theme is great. It's time to talk about it. And just to reiterate the point you've made here, those going through it need to talk more. Those who love those people need to listen more.
Absolutely.
That's the distinction, right?
Yes, very much so. With this theme of it's time to talk about it, we also want to talk about gaining an understanding of how these eating disorders are also tied to anxiety, depression, OCD, trauma, all these co-occurring eating disorders. They fall under, you know, this big umbrella. So being that source of support and listening is, you know, what we want to drive home.
For people that are listening now who are going through this and they've just had enough and they're tired and they're sad and they want to do something about it, where do they go?
I would definitely recommend going to the microsite that NIDA created specifically for Awareness Week, which is nidaawareness.org. You can go on there and take a free screening. It'll take you 3 minutes. And after those 3 minutes, you'll be directed to treatment sources. You can click to chat with people through NIDA. You can be assigned to a NIDA navigator, which is part of the program that I'm involved in, working with a mentor who can one-on-one help you find those treatment resources and be a source of support.
My affiliation with Rebecca's Dream, which is bipolar and depression in specifics, helped me come to an understanding a long time ago that there is no snap out of it.
Absolutely.
There is no walk it off. And in this case, there is no, oh my God, just eat. Or, oh my God, how about having some discipline? You can lose weight if you want to. Or, what do you mean you're going in the bathroom to throw? You know, it's judgment doesn't help.
Absolutely. And it's important to know that recovery isn't linear. There's going to be setbacks, and recovery looks different for everyone. And that's something important to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And you brought up a great point, too. It's not just anorexia, bulimia. It's overeating. So, right. I mean, there's all different ways to diagnose this, too.
What do men mostly have? Is it statistical?
Not necessarily. Different communities, we find that anorexia is more prevalent or that binge eating is more prevalent. But I would say that it's overarching. There's no one thing that is more in particular for any group of people.
Are men even less likely to talk about it because we don't associate it with men?
Yeah, it's been characterized as a women's disease for so long, especially when, you know, it first started getting coverage in the 80s. Nobody was talking about men up through the 90s. I feel it's only just in recent years that men have kind of come out of the shadows, and we've had some athletes come out of the shadows and start talking about it.
It's NIDA, the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, next week specifically. What's the website again?
NIDAawareness.org.
And I assume we have Facebook pages and things like that, too?
Oh, absolutely. And you can be directed to that straight through NIDA's website. You can follow them on Instagram. We have a couple buildings lighting up across the city week. Yeah.
What are the colors?
Blue and green. So we have Aon cool. Center, Prudential Plaza, Crane Communications Building, and the Wrigley Building across the street, all lighting up blue and green for NIDA Awareness Week.
Well, good for
next
them.
Week. Yeah.
Good for them for getting it and contributing. Nice to meet you, Ashley.
Nice to meet
Thanks
you,
Thanks for doing this work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we take the break here, you know, it's kind of a breath of fresh air that we haven't been inundated with bad political news this morning. So we got a little time for this, and Jake loves this, and it makes me laugh as well. This is Alex Trebek from Jeopardy. Through the years, there have been many times that there has been a rap category on Jeopardy. And Alex Trebek, there's nothing like an old Canadian dude rapping. Here's Alex Trebek with his Jeopardy rap montage.
Let's rap for 400, please.
They mad, they ain't famous. They mad, they still nameless. But we still hood famous. Yeah, we still hood famous. Julia?
It was Kanye West.
Yes, and I hope I don't get an email from him.
Let's rap for 600, please.
Buy a chopper and have a doctor on speed dial, I guess. Mad City. Julia?
It was Kendrick Lamar.
Right.
Let's rap for 1,000.
Panda, 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 panda. Lily.
Who's designer?
Designer, yes.
Let's wrap for 800, please.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Young Money Militia, and I am the commissioner. You don't want to start wheezy because the F is for finisher. Alex.
Who is Kanye West?
No. Lily.
Who's Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne, yeah. I was just getting into this rap thing. I'm not too good at it, but I was getting into it. We'll come back in a moment.
If you have ever heard Orion and Alex Trebek freestyle, they freestyle battle in the street sometime. It's unbelievable. Capital Minutes 49, CLTV joins us next. And stand by to win. See the purple on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Hartman racing over to the right wing circle. Pulls the trigger. Shoots. He scores! Ryan Hartman with a top shelf goal.
Posa took it back now along the right wing half court. Enters the right circle. Fires a shot. He scores! Oh, did Marian Hossa pick out the top corner? Here's Panic with a shot. They score! And the rebound chance for Taves, and he buries it. Taves was in front of Robin Leonard as Panic shot the puck from the left circle. Took it back from O'Reilly to Patrick Kane on the slot. Put it in front. They score! A nice redirect there by Anisimov. Wide open Patrick Kane. Right circle. Moves in front. Backhand. He scores! The magic hands of Patrick Kane. He dinks Leonard down and out. Went from forehand to backhand and slid it in behind him. It's 5-1 Hawks. They're having some fun now.
Troy Murray has fun all the time. Period. Troy Murray Johnson is now brought to you by Chicago's own Nuveen. You like this golf weather, buddy?
Well, if I could get back into the city, I'd really enjoy it.
Yeah.
We've been gone so long.
Yeah, you probably forgot where you lived.
I might need some directions when I get back tonight.
I'll pick you up. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How's the team feel to you?
Good. I like what I'm seeing right now. I think that the consistency that we've seen here in the last couple of weeks, really since the beginning of this road trip, going back to the loss against the San Jose Sharks, has been the best we've seen all season long. Goaltending's been great. Defense has been good. Everybody's been involved in the equation offensively. It's going to be a good game tonight.
And what makes Minnesota good? I mean, they've been good for years, but what makes this year a little different?
I think that they added a guy named Eric Staal, and he just kind of brought everything together and put all the pieces in the right place as far as like the pecking order, top to bottom. Some of their younger players are more mature this year and got another year under their belt, playing extremely well. It's a fast hockey team. I think the new voice inside the locker room from Bruce Boudreau has really helped this team kind of have a little bit more fun, and you can see that on the ice that they're enjoying the game a little bit more, and that's important. And they've got great goaltending in Devin Dubnyk. This is a legitimate team this year.
Troy, there was the 6-day break in between games with Edmonton, which had never happened before. Do you, if you were going back to your playing days, would you have liked that in the middle of your schedule, 6 days off? Because every team that's coming back off, it seems to not like it, and they're not winning. And then all of a sudden, you come back after 6 days off, you play 3 games in 4 nights. I mean, how does all that make sense?
Well, I guess, you know, as a player, we always kind of enjoyed the All-Star break back in the day a little bit different, but that's all we had as far as a break, and a lot of us got out of town for at least a couple of days, which was nice in the middle of the grind of the season. 5 days is a little bit unusual. I think for the Blackhawks, even though they lost the game against the Edmonton Oilers, have an experienced group of guys inside the room that knew what they needed to do to come out and play a good 60 minutes. They did. The goaltender for Edmonton was great. It's a different thing that teams will adjust here in the future. It sounds like they're going to do it again in the coming years. So it'll be interesting to see how teams adjust once they kind of get a better feel of how it affects the team overall. For me as a player back in the day, I mean, I probably wouldn't mind just getting away and enjoying some sun or doing whatever you need to do for a few days.
I thought I heard that the first game back after the week off for the bye week, the record in the first game back for the team that had the week off is something like 3-14 or something.
Right.
Yeah, it's incredibly bad. And whether there's a rhyme or reason to what's going on, I don't know. But, you know, for some teams who are on a roll and have to take 5 days off, I would think that it would affect them a little bit more. For a team that is kind of struggling and needs to get away, it might be better for them in the long run. I think for the Blackhawks, where it's kind of unique, they've got a couple weeks here, and then they've got another 4-day break in between games, and then they play every other night for the rest of the season or back-to-back on some of the weekends. For an experienced team, for a bunch of guys that have played a lot of hockey like the Blackhawks, I don't think these days off in this situation are a bad thing. The schedule seems like it's always condensed regardless of what you're going on. The World Cup at the beginning of the season, the All-Star break, the 5-day break. You're playing a lot of games and a lot of nights, but it's the same for everybody around the league.
Troy, as you, a lot of focus on being 7 points back of the Wild, right? Does it matter in your mind at all if they catch them?
Well, you'd like to have, you know, that home ice advantage in the big picture. I don't know if it's do or die, life or death, whether you get to first place or not, but I think you want to continue to play well and you want to push the envelope a little bit, put some pressure on Minnesota. You play them tonight and then you play them one more time at the United Center in March. So, you know, if you win those two games, you've got an opportunity for whatever reason. I mean, Minnesota has just sailed along all season long. They haven't faced any adversity. They haven't gone through any kind of a prolonged slump. It's been a great hockey team all season long. You'd like to put a little pressure on them and see how they handle it. And maybe you get a break and they go into a little bit of a slide and you can find a way to get first place overall in the Central Division, which would be home ice, you know, maybe through the entire Western Conference playoffs, if you can, you know, if you can manage that. So you always want to have that in your mind that, yeah, we play well, but, you know, if we don't get it, it's not a huge deal.
Right, but that's the balancing act, right, for Q and everybody, that you don't grind guys to the bone where you come into the playoffs tired to try to win something.
Yeah, Mark, he's not going to do that. There's no way. Right. I mean, he knows what he has with these guys. And,
right.
You know, they've been in a position where they've, you know, had to go in and win game sevens in opposition buildings. But even maybe last year, if you reverse the fortunes of being able to play St. Louis in game seven on home ice, might be a little bit different. But you're certainly, you know, not going to tax these guys trying to chase down the Minnesota Wild just so you can get first place. You're right.
Is there a – I hate this phrase because it's one of the most overused phrases in sports, along with at the end of the day. But is there a sense of urgency among some of the Blackhawks that this year could be really special? Because, let's be honest, Duncan Keith's got a lot of miles on his legs. Certainly Hossa and Campbell, you know, two of the older guys, they'd love to get another one. Or do they just approach this one game at a time, and that's why the Hawks are so good?
Well, I think that they've got, you know, at the end of the day, Steve.
Slap yourself. I can't reach you from here.
You know, their core group is still really good. And there's a few, you know, solid years of legitimate opportunities for this team. And Kane and Taves, 10 years in the league already, only 28 years of age, which is incredible. It just seems like they came in a couple of years ago. I don't know if there's a sense of urgency. I think every year they believe inside that locker room that there's a sense of urgency to get it done. Duncan Keith is 33 years of age, but man, he doesn't look like he's slowing down. He's in great shape, and these athletes in today's game can play a little bit longer than we did back in our day. But I think that there's a real good belief that, you know, each and every year with this core group of guys, that it's a great opportunity for them to win another Stanley Cup. And I think that's the way they approach it. I don't think they're looking down the road to say, you know, maybe that our window is closing. There is some teams that have that feeling. I don't get that sense around the Blackhawks at this point.
What's your sense on whether or not there'll be a deal before the March 1 deadline here? I know Stan has said no, but things can change pretty rapidly with that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the one thing that the Blackhawks, there's a couple of things that you have to factor in here. First and foremost, the draft is in Chicago this year. They want to keep their first-round draft pick. You know, that's been a big part of, you know, their strategy in the past. If we can get the right type of player that we think can bring us a Stanley Cup, we're willing to do whatever we need to do to get that player. Last year it didn't work. You gave up some first-round draft pick. And the Andrew Ladd deal didn't work this year. I don't get that sense that Stan is willing to give up that first round pick. The other situation that they have is they have very limited cap space. So it would have to be, you know, maybe a minor deal where you could bring in somebody who's not going to bring a whole lot of cap space with them. You don't need any extra contracts after this year because you are going to be dealing with a real tight space in the summertime again. So I would think, that Stan, as always, kind of works a little magic and that something will happen. I'm not sure where it could happen. You're always looking for depth on the defensive side of it, but you added Brian Campbell. You know, you've got a pretty good mix back there. Maybe you're looking for a depth player up front, somebody who can come in and help Jonathan Toews in the faceoffs or something like that. But I don't see a significant move. But, hey, we've been surprised before, and if Stan can work some magic, he will.
I think it's important for Stan to stay game ready. So maybe he needs to make a lesser deal, like trade Pete Hassan. Make a deal for Pete Hassan from The Office.
I'd get rid of him in a heartbeat. but at the end of the day, Steve.
Yes, at the end of the day. all right, so as you go around the league, a lot of these are new buildings. I was in Minnesota when the North Stars left town. That's tough. Minnesota's hockey country. And they love the Wild. I'm just curious, is the food in Minnesota at this building good for you guys?
You know what? I'd have to throw you to the expert on that, and that would be my partner, John Weideman. He's the food expert.
I thought he was the guy that would just eat one or two things, though.
No, he kind of likes everything. And,
I got to tell you, but
he's the best. He's the best. Before we came on the air, you guys were playing the highlights from the last game.
Yeah.
Does he have a good caller watch?
Oh, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. There's nobody close. Yeah.
Between periods, he is focused on that food. I mean, I've witnessed a John Weideman get himself nourished and ready for the next
period. You think about the energy he burns off pronouncing Northern European names with 44 syllables.
So. Where did the simple names go? Where did Doug Wilson go?
Exactly.
Where did Ben Smith go?
Exactly. How dare they? It's our friend Troy Murray, and at the end of the day, he and John Weideman will be doing the call. What time's our pregame tonight, Marky?
That would be 6:30, Steve.
6:30 tonight. Get a win, will you?
I'm going to work on it.
All right. It's a great Troy Murray.
But at the end of the day, you know the old saying.
His head's going to explode, Troy.
Yeah, God willing and the creek don't rise, we'll get him tonight. It's 9:22. Troy Murray, sponsored by Chicago's own Nuvina. We're back after this. Hi. It's 9:26. Mark Carmen's here for Dave Ennett. Where is Dave Ennett?
Dave Ennett is in Champaign, Illinois for the Wildcats and the Fighting Illini, Steve.
And of course he is. And that game is tonight as well. As we press forward here, I'd like to look back for a moment and tell you, we had phenomenal co-kids of the week this morning, three of them, and that podcast we'll put up after the show as well. I'd recommend, or it's up now, I'd recommend you listen to the whole podcast, you know, the whole show, and check it for punctuation errors and let me know how we did. But the podcasts are up wherever you normally pull your podcasts, and if you're doing that, well, that's between you and your podcast. And it's at WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app, your TuneIn, your iTunes, your zippity-doo-dah-day. So go ahead and get that, and thanks to Allstate. Yes.
Their GoFundMe page is Baskets, Not Bullets, and it's almost $4,000 now.
Well, that's great. That's excellent. All right, so do you see purple? If you get on CLTV and you see purple, all you have to do is wait for the cat to roar. And when the cat roars, be the seventh caller and tell us what purple you see and why. We're celebrating Northwestern being on the verge of a trip to the tournament. If you see purple, I can't imagine, when might that cat roar? At any time? Was I the only one that heard it? Number is 312-981-7200. What purple do you see on CLTV or the video feed off WGNRadio.com?
Go Cats.
We got a winner. Tell me when he's ready to go. Actually, I don't need him to come on. I just take his name. Okay? Dave in Crystal Lake. Ooh. Dave in Crystal Lake. Well, let me go to this. It's Dave in Crystal Lake. That's you, isn't it, Dave?
That's me.
And where did you see the purple?
I did.
And what purple did you see?
It's almost the size of your melon. It's a Northwestern helmet.
Wow.
And it's sitting to your left.
That's right. That's right, funny boy. Congratulations. And what does Dave win for his efforts? Anything I want to give him? That's the part I didn't talk about in rehearsal.
Well, yeah, we said that we could have him rent out Dave's guest room.
You can stay with Dave Ennett?
Yeah, you got his address, right? It's in Deerfield.
It's like you're living with Dave Ennett.
123 Cat Street in Deerfield.
All right. Look for the coyote.
Bring the wine.
I got an app.
Oh, he knows Dave's heart.
Oh, absolutely.
The way to warm up Dave's heart.
Well, any hooch. I got an app gift card for you, ABT, aptelectronics.com, and a ChevyDriveChicago.com, and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee to kind of sober up after your big night.
Way cool. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you listening. That's Dave from Crystal Lake. Sherry Bustos not running for governor?
Sherry Bustos is not going to run for governor. She announced that yesterday. I think she told Rick Pearson, and he had put it on Twitter. And also, she did say, though, her exact quote was, Governor Rauner is extremely beatable.
Well, and the other piece of this is, if Chris Kennedy and Pritzker are going to run, that's a lot of money.
Right. Kennedy is in for sure. Pritzker hasn't officially announced. And then right. Alderman Pawar is officially
announced.
It'd
be very hard to compete with the type of money that Kennedy and Pritzker could
right.
pay. We are, of course, still encouraging you. Paper for People Without Paper. What did we call this yesterday?
RIP, right? Residence for Illinois Paper.
Yeah, Residence for Illinois Paper. the legislators in Illinois don't have paper. So find out who your state reps are, your state senator and your state house member. On one side of a piece of paper, write, pass the damn budget.
Or something like that.
Something like that. And say, Steve Cochran sent me, do your job, pass the budget. And on the other side, leave it blank so they can use it because they're out of paper.
You should just send a lot of this to Mike Madigan. Steve says hi, hey, come, when are you coming on, kind of thing.
Is Madigan coming on? Have we heard back from Mike Madigan? You know, we ask Mike Madigan every day, and this is show number 845. What's Madigan saying today? Yeah, it's still kind of quiet out there. So,
live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Listen how good this is.
She didn't mean it. That's what she said. He was an old friend. And she lost her head. Now I know my woman is nice and kind. But now we don't know if the baby is his or mine. I gotta walk it off.
Ah, it's the music of my people.
Woo! Gotta walk it off.
It's hard to find something in blues you haven't heard by somebody you haven't heard of. But I'm convinced that not everybody knows the great Toronzo Cannon is going to be 2017 nominated for four 2017 Blues Music Awards. Going to be live in concert Friday night at River Roast, and it's good to see my old friend John Hogan here. Good to see you off the street.
That's good to be off the street, Steve. Thanks.
I remember the old days at the Loop. Buzz Kilman would come into work, and he'd have a briefcase full of harmonicas and a gig that night. And that was essentially his day.
Yeah, it was.
But you go back with the blues as long as you've been in town, right?
I probably trace it to about 10 years old. So.
Yeah. And where'd the love come from?
I think when, first of all, like the Shadows of Night came out in the mid-60s, Chicago, they were doing Boom Boom by John Lee Hooker and and a couple other Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf tunes. And then the real kicker, I think, was when Led Zeppelin I came out. And it had a tune called I Can't Quit You, Baby. Mm-hmm. And when you looked at the liner notes, the writing credit was to a man by the name of Otis Rush, who to me to this day was probably the greatest living guitar player that we knew.
How many nights after finishing chefing at one of Chicago's finest restaurants did you stumble over to a blues joint?
Many, 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 many times.
This is pretty cool. So River Roast, you got a stage in there?
We had a stage built.
And why haven't I come over?
Steve, I guess you need an invitation. Come on over.
Do need to come over, but there is a stage.
Yes.
How'd you hook up with Toronzo?
Toronzo played back when we opened a few years ago, and we became instant friends due to not only the love of the blues, but I think he's just one of the most talented guys out there right now.
I don't know him at all. I hear he's a good guy.
He's a great guy. He drives a CTA bus for a living. And he writes all his own tunes. He's a showman, consummate showman, wonderful guitar player.
You got to live a life to sing the blues like that.
I always say you got to live the blues to sing the blues.
Right? You got to know some troubles in your life.
No question.
Yeah. Andrea, say hi to John.
John, tell us about the blues brunch, because that sounds like that's right up everybody's alley.
Yeah. Well, you know, it stemmed, I think, the blues originating in Mississippi. And a lot of those people moved to Chicago to find work. But back in Mississippi, I think Sunday afternoon, they'd get out of church. They'd go home. Grandma would whip up some soul food, and the guys would hit the porch and start playing blues.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the brunch idea came from.
Tell everybody about River Roast.
River Roast, 315 North LaSalle.
Where'd you get 713?
That was an old restaurant address of mine back in the 90s.
It was like old call letters for me. They'll just come out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's at the LaSalle on the river, and it's a fun kind of communal concept. Everyone's looking at each other and talking and focusing on the center of the table and obviously the blues on the weekends.
What are you cooking?
We do whole roast, chicken, beef, pork, fish, vegetable roasts. They would take them to the table. The servers process them at the table, and
it
goes in the center of the table. So I think when you're eating normally a meal, you're looking at your plate because you have fish and you have chicken, you have beef.
Sure.
Here, everything hits the center of the table. The eyes go up. There's a lot of communal feeling sure. about it. And it's nobody, cool. more importantly, nobody's on their cell phones.
Is that a concept you wanted to do for a while?
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Montuano and I went to England about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And they have these roast houses in London. And we thought nobody really is doing that in Chicago. So.
So you're sitting there minding your own business, and all of a sudden a big old chicken's going to come out and sit right in the center of you.
You got it. Best chicken in town without question.
That's what I've heard. Hey, what am I doing? Why haven't I come see you?
Come on, Steve.
Please.
You got to get out there.
What a huge disappointment I am to me. Mark Carmen, say hi.
Hello. Okay. If what else other than the chicken? Now you got me super excited here. And why the no cell phone? What's the
No cell phone. The point is,
it's not that they're not allowed. It's just that people
got
are
else
so
to talk to.
They're engaged. Oh. They're engaged oh, okay. with the company at their table.
Oh, okay, I thought we were making hard and fast rules.
No. Those days are long gone.
Which is too bad in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I had an agent whose wife would anytime she had a party or something. She'd make you put the cell phone in this wicker basket that she smiled and carried around. You can have it back when you leave.
There you go. I like
right?
it.
Yeah. But those days are gone, yeah.
I do like the rule, though, but I you're also putting people, it's so nice to be there, and you're so engaged that you don't need a rule is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what's so cool is that Buddy Guy's been on your show a mm-hmm. lot, Steve, and he'll come in, and he'll play sometimes, but more often than not, he'll tell stories.
Right.
And I love hearing, don't you guys, the stories oh. of they tell about each other, like about when Buddy talks about Muddy Waters or Lonnie Brooks, whoever, the stories and the collaboration. Can you sure. imagine being in that room?
Well, you just got to be smart enough to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what the blues are all about. It's all about telling stories, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. It's all gets translated into song. So.
It's a true story back in the 90s, and I couldn't tell you what year. And this is at Blue Chicago. It's as touristy as it gets. Mm-hmm. But I was in there with some people, and this is when I was doing the night show on the Loop, I guess. And in there with some people, I was tired, and I was getting ready to leave, and a woman in the group goes into the ladies' room. She comes out, and she's white. She's visiting from the South somewhere. And I go, what's the matter? She goes, a woman there just tried to sell me a gun. Well, it's not a prop. You're in a blues club.
I went into the restroom.
Right. You ever get in a blues bar fight? Like a real blues bar fight?
Not really. Not a blues bar fight. Rock club fight not maybe really. Once or twice in the 70s. Right.
How about the old Loop guys? You stay in touch with anybody?
Oh, yeah. Once in a while, I'll see Jimmy or Larry.
Yeah. It's a shame what happened to Jimmy. We hope he makes parole.
Yeah, right. You know.
Yeah.
But I still see, you know, once in a while, like Tony Fitzpatrick.
Tony's
the best. I know we were on with Wendy not long ago, and when Tony and Wendy were on, I, you know, spent some time on that stage.
How about Kevin? Kevin Matthews.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Kevin's struggling with dealing with MS, which he's a good spokesman for, but I think he's doing pretty well overall.
Well, that's good.
And Buzz? You run across Buzz much?
Once in a great while with Tony. He'll come in for lunch.
Did you ever hear Buzz Kilman play the harp?
Yes, he's fantastic.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, he played last year on New Year's Eve at River Rose.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I mention this? Why haven't I come in?
What
the hell's wrong with me?
I think you're looking for an invitation.
No. You know me. I pay my check.
Yeah, right.
All right. It's a River Roast, and it's going to be a great night. It's Friday night, February 24th. We got any more Taranzo? You play a little Taranzo out for me? Or play coming back on his side? Okay. Taranzo Cannon, and we can buy his stuff anywhere?
Yeah, you can get his CD online or probably in some of the blues shops now. And I'm very excited for him. He's going to take the Memphis by storm in May and win a few awards and bring him home.
Nice.
Very so nice. It's 8 o'clock to 10 Friday night at River Roast, and tickets are available on Eventbrite.
Oh, you kidding? He's not getting off by 10. RiverRoastChicago.com, right? That's the website
That's
for
it.
The restaurant? Congrats on all the success. Great
Thank
to see you,
Steve.
It's been too long.
Great to see you.
9:50, back after this on 720 WGN. How good is that? Taranzo Cannon. TORONZOCANNON. Taranzo Cannon. Buy his stuff. What did he say? He's a CTA bus driver?
Is that right?
You know what Hogan said?
Was he?
Drives CTA during the day.
Really?
And goes out and tears it up at night doing the blues. That's tremendous. It was just tremendous.
That's the best CTA ride, when the train driver conductor is talking to you. Welcome to the...
Welcome to VF Taranza's driving, and he's got his guitar with him. He starts cranking. We're stuck in traffic, baby! Just tearing it up. 9:55. And you're back with us tomorrow?
I'm here tomorrow, yes. Thank you.
Bill and Wendy coming up. And again, when you're watching CLTV, continue to watch CLTV, because Rokan and Anna are coming up later at 3. But we're going to ask you to, again, see the purple tomorrow and continue to crank up the excitement for Northwestern making the tournament for the first time. So you can watch the video stream at WGNRadio.com or watch CLTV at 9 o'clock. We're back after this. Me and my Big Melon. That was my blues name, Big Melon.
It's a great name for you.
Yeah, it's pretty good. On 720 WGN.